finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones. We're with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared to you today as we look at Isaiah chapter 64 with a message titled, The Awesome God. So stay tuned, get your Bibles ready, and follow along with us in today's study. But before continuing, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for everybody tuned in who's desiring to know you better, Lord. Please reveal yourself as we discuss Isaiah 64 and continue to move through that wonderful book, Lord, which reveals so much of your heart and your purposes. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing upon our time together in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Our topic is The Awesome God in Isaiah 64. Before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful day in summer that we get to do a program together.
Yes, man. It's been awesome going through the book of Isaiah to think that we're up to Isaiah 64, two more chapters after this. We're getting close, and we've been asking people to let us know, okay, if you've been following along in Isaiah and you want to hear something in particular, then write us at webminister@lamblion.com, or what's the phone number, Vic?
305-992-9537. They can call or text.
All right. And so we've been talking, and there's been a lot of interest in us moving forward, and I think the Lord gave Vic the inspiration. Vic, what did the Lord tell you?
Well, Nathan, you and I have had so much fun through so many books of the Bible, including the book of Lamentation, that we thought, what a great partner to that book would Jeremiah make. So we're hoping and praying to journey through that next.
Absolutely. You know, folks, if you want to listen to our series on Lamentations, which was quite a long time ago, but we've got the entire archive of our podcast, The Truth Will Set You Free, on our website at christinprophecy.org. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pray.com, or just go right to our RSS feed, and we will get you all these. We've got, of course, on our website under Media Podcasts, all the way back to 2010. So Vic and I have been putting this whole library of teaching together for you over these years, and you can find it all on christinprophecy.org.
Oh, Nate, what exciting times we have had in so many books. And Nathan, have you ever listened to one of your old sermons and then realized, man, my voice sounded different?
Well, I kind of think of the tech, when you record a podcast, it raises your voice just a tad, kind of like television puts 10 pounds on you. Radio raises your voice a little. And sometimes I'll listen to our podcasts or our radio programs, which is Christ and Prophecy Radio, which, by the way, we just hit 900 stations. Praise the Lord.
Whoa.
900 radio stations. So it continues to grow and flourish in the little over 2 years that Tim Moore and I have been doing that program. But, you know, Vic and I have been doing this since 2010, and we continue to look for new platforms and reach people for Jesus. Folks, we believe that the time is short. Jesus is coming soon. And so we are putting the message out that repent, turn to Jesus. He is coming. The King is returning.
Oh, praise the Lord. And Nathan, and we believe he is coming back very, very soon. There's so many amazing things happening right now in Bible prophecy and in the world that it's just prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. And that's part of what we encourage you to continue to keep your eyes on the Lord and dig into his word. He's got so much in store for you. So much so, Nate, that as we've been looking at Isaiah, we're in chapter 64. And I know we are quickly inching away to the close of the book, but how exciting was chapter 63, Nate, when we talked about that connection there with the tribulation, the second coming, and the location where the Lord is going to return? It was fascinating.
It was. And what's really neat is that how so many prophecies are pointing to what is even future to us. To think that Isaiah was written about 700 BC, 2,700 years ago. That's a massive amount of time from a human perspective. And yet, a lot of these prophecies were pointing to the future kingdom when Jesus returns and defeats evil and sets up his kingdom here on this earth. And so, there's a lot of hope to be found in these passages.
And not only that, Nate, but what I love is the encouragement that we receive in Isaiah chapter 63. And then also the Lord continues to encourage individuals through the rest of the ending of the chapter. So yes, we share some gloom and doom, but we also share some great good news. And that's what you find weaved here in the book of Isaiah. And as we continue in chapter 64, we want to invite you to get your Bibles and follow along with us. We'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Nate, will you be able to open us up there, chapter 64, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read verses 5 through 7 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
All right, Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who act for the one who waits for him.
Well, verse 5, you meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Another amazing opening, dramatic, Nate, here in chapter 64.
Oh, yeah, especially verse 1 resonates with us here at Lamb and Lion Ministries because our founder, Dr. David Reagan, who, by the way, has reached his 88th birthday this week, praise the Lord, for
Whoa.
giving him so many years. But he, in so many of our Christ and Prophecy episodes, when he was the host, would read Isaiah 64, 1. Oh, like calling out to the Lord. Another, rend the heavens, open the heavens, tear it open, like, tearing open a bag of chips, and the chips explode out of the bag, tear the heavens apart and come down and, come, Lord. This is the prayer. This is the call of our hearts as Christians that Jesus Christ would break from the heavens and call his church up from him in the rapture. So, verse 1 is just such a beautiful verse.
I love that analogy that you just made. And that is true. Isn't that what we wait for? We believe that moment is coming when the heavens will be open and the Lord will come with his church. What a glorious thing that will be. And verse 2 says, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Nate, it just reminds me so much also of Psalm chapter 2 is so dramatic. And Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 also point just as dramatic when the Lord is when the nations are raging, if you will, and what God has to say. So I'm gonna just flip there to Isaiah chapter excuse me, Psalm chapter 2, in case someone is not familiar with those passages. But what a dramatic scene we also find there in Psalm chapter 2, where it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in the deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy Zion. I just love that opening also, Nate, here in Isaiah chapter 64. What a reminder of Psalm 2.
It's interesting. Just yesterday, Tim and I recorded a radio program, Christ and Prophecy Radio, about Dr. David Reagan's new book, Messiah in the Psalms. And one of the great psalms that points to Jesus Christ is the one that Vic just read, Psalm 2. And it's all about how the world system, as we read in Daniel chapter 2, the Gentile world powers are in rebellion against God. They're raging against God. They're plotting against Him. They want to break away the fetters, in other words, moral law. And brother, we're seeing this all around the world, how governments are just that once stood on the Bible are moving away from Him, openly mocking Him, rejecting Him. We saw the Olympics. It seems like every time there's an Olympics, there's some horrible pagan sketch that just insults Jesus Christ and all, and the nations are raged against Him. And yet, I love verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He holds them in derision. In other words, they can plot and plan all they want, but there's nothing compared to the power of God, and His will be done.
Oh, Nathan, and we know that we serve a mighty and awesome God, and there is none like him. As we go back to Isaiah 64, verse 4, clearly indicates that. It says, Isaiah 64, 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. I just love that verse, Nate.
Well, yeah, and it shows the personalness of God. The people who worship idols or demons or self, it's all the same thing. It's all rebellion against God. It's all setting up a God that you prefer to worship so you can do whatever you want to do, whatever sin you want to do. They're going to let you do it. And we're seeing that even in this, I guess you could call it liberal Christianity, where it's like a smorgasbord. They pick and choose what they want out of the Bible and create their own religion. And yet, here we have the God of the Bible is a personal God. He connects with you. He talks with you. When you're saved, He gives you His Holy Spirit. And there's none like that. I mean, Allah is distant and cold. And even in paradise, He supposedly has nothing to do with the people who are there. The demonic world wants you to worship them, and they torment and persecute those who follow Him. It's all evil, but God Himself is a loving God. He's a personal God. He's a God who sacrificed His own Son on the cross so we, when we put our faith in Him, can have our sins forgiven and be saved. I mean, truly, Vic, it's even an understatement. No eye has seen any God beside you. There is nothing compared to Yahweh God.
Oh, Nathan, I know in history we're going to continue to see God stepping in and doing incredible things. And that's why we keep our eyes on Israel and just the miracles that God has already done for that nation. But Nate, we also serve a God who takes action. Verse 4 says, no one who acts for the ones who wait for him. And I'm sure right now there's people listening to this program and they're waiting on God for something and they can sometimes grow a little bit impatient. God, when are you going to judge this nation? Or God, when are you going to do something in my life? But yet the Bible says that He acts for the ones who wait upon Him. And you and I, Nate, have been waiting for the rapture now for many years and praying for it, but it's going to happen.
It will, because the Lord said it will. And because it will, then it will. I mean, that's how God works. And He acts for the one who waits for Him. In other words, yeah, we have to wait for Him because His timing is perfect. He has His reasons for doing what He does when He does it. And we just need to sit and be patient and wait for Him. It's hard. I agree with you, Vic. I mean, waiting for the rapture is agonizing at times, but hey, it's going to happen because the Bible prophesies it's going to happen. It uses what's called a proleptic prophecy or proleptic prayer, where it's a prophecy that's written in the past tense as if it's already done, because in God's eye, it is already done. He's outside of time. For us on the timeline, it still remains future. But proleptic prophecies are amazing because it's giving us the fact that for God, this prophecy is done. It's going to happen. So it's guaranteed. So we need to wait on Him. We need to be patient for Him. So that's good you brought that up, Vic. I think that's an important point in understanding God and who He is personally.
Oh, Nate, absolutely. And God loves people. He has a wonderful plan for them. And God is also very patient, according to 2 Peter, speaking about what one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. And then we might say, well, God, what are you waiting for? And the God says, well, I'm waiting for you because you still don't know me. And there's
Yeah.
people out there, right, Nate, that God is patiently also waiting for them.
And that's why verse 5 says, "You are indeed angry, for we have sinned." And folks, that, as we've been going through the book of Isaiah, is that not pretty much the theme that we've been coming across again and again? The Jewish people are a living symbol of our personal relationship with God. You know, faithful one moment, rebellious the next. And that's where we are in Isaiah. The Lord's like, hey, you're dipping deeper and deeper into rebellion. By the time we get to the book of Jeremiah, we're going to find out that it's even worse. That's the moment before the Jewish people are going to be exiled because they're continuing disbelief. And God has a reason to be angry. It's rebellion against him. It's a breaking of that personal relationship. Not that he's an autocrat that's trying to rule over us and ruin our lives. That's what the secular world tries to make God out to be. God is a loving, caring, self-sacrificing God, the only God. And you guaranteed life with him in heaven forever when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so he has every reason to be angry. And so, you know, for those who skip the major and minor prophets, says, oh, God's angry all the time. I remember back years ago, there was an old Simpsons episode, and I remember Homer Simpson saying, well, God is always angry. And that's a point that they kind of read the Bible and think that he's always angry. Well, he's angry at sin. Sin destroys us, it kills us, it ruins us, it tears societies and families apart. And so, of course, God is angry. We should be angry about the sin of our lives, but he's provided a way, which verse 5 says again, and we need to be saved. He provides that salvation.
Nathan, great word. And again, you just tuned into a Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 64 with our message, The Awesome God. And Nate, verse 6 and 7 very clearly outline our sins. And sometimes people think they're pretty good. They're like, hey man, comparing to my neighbor, I'm pretty good. And we all compare ourselves to others, but verses 6 and 7 clearly define our sin, but we are all like unclean things. Not some, it says, but we are all. And all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Nathan, that word all is a little bit of an indictment that no matter what we think of ourselves or our works, the Bible says, man, they're like filthy rags. That's a bad picture.
Yeah, and to really understand the filthy rag thing, and I'm not trying to be crass here, but the original Hebrew points to the fact that they're not just filthy rags, it's menstrual rags. In other words, the women were considered during their menstrual cycle to be unclean and untouchable. Their husbands weren't allowed to lay with their wives, and the rags that they used as tampons, what we call them today, were considered the most disgusting things you could, because they were ceremonially unclean on top of being having possible blood diseases and illnesses and things that could come from it. So it's about as filthy as you can get. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. All our righteousness as fallen humans, we think we're doing great, but God compares them to the most disgusting thing that the Bible can point out, and that's basically used tampons. And again, I'm not trying to be crass, but I'm just going with what the Hebrews teaching here. And so it makes this point that, you know, you're right, Vic. We think that we're awesome. You know, we think we're doing great. We think that, you know, we're righteous and oh, we might sin here and there, but at least I'm not as bad as Hitler, you know? And
Right.
that's what the Bible's trying to point here. It says, hey, your righteousness will not get you to heaven. It's insufficient because God's standard is perfection.
And Nathan, and that disgusting picture that we painted really is just the tip of the iceberg of what sin looks like. We look at society today, we look at the hideous crimes that are being committed, and we see that's all sin. That's the filthiness. Verse 7 points out, and there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And it reminds me, Nate, of Romans 3:23, where the Bible is clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, verse 7, there is no one who calls their name. So while people think that they're really good, that they found God, no, God found us. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
I remember years ago, I was at a barber shop and I had a woman cutting my hair, and we got in a discussion about salvation of all things. It just kind of flowed naturally. I think because she asked me what I did, and I worked at a church at the time, and she was a practicing lesbian. And so, she had some issues with what I was saying, but we had a really good discussion. And we were talking about that you needed salvation because we couldn't do righteous deeds. She was telling me, well, when I get up to heaven, I'll talk my way in. I'll show them I'm a pretty good person. They might not agree with my lifestyle, but I do good stuff, so I'll get into heaven. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. The Bible teaches the complete opposite, that you have the only way that you can enter heaven is by being perfect. And only God is perfect. And that's why Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, took our sins upon himself when he died on the cross. And only by his work of salvation do we, by faith, accept it and then are forgiven of our sins. And so appear perfect because the blood of Jesus purifies us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7. And so we can enter heaven. And it is a mindset, isn't it, Vic? Because there's so many, there are probably millions and millions of people throughout history who believe they're going to make it into heaven based on their own good deeds. And here, Isaiah 64, Romans 3:23 says otherwise.
Nathan, and that's why we find certain people are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong, because the truth is the Bible is clear and there's no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." It's a work of faith. And Nathan, what I like here and what I see is God points this picture for us in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 and 7, shows us our sin. But I always like the but. In God, the but now, oh Lord, right? Nate, it brings that hope. It's like, hey, here's the bad news. Here's what it is. This is the reality if you accept it, but look what God has in store for you. Would you read the next verses for us there, Nate? Verses 8 through 10, and I'll read 11 through 12.
Yeah, good point, Vic. I love it. But okay, we're going to change our point of view here. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, and all we are is the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity, which is sin, forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, and Jerusalem a desolation.
Our holy and beautiful temple, where our Father praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? What a change of pace, right, Nate?
And again, to put this into context here, this is a prophecy, folks, because in 700 BC, now the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, were taken into exile by Nineveh, but the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, who controlled Jerusalem and the temple, were still there. And they would be there for about another 114 years. It wasn't until 586 BC when Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians destroyed the city and the temple. And that would happen again once the Jewish remnant returned, rebuilt the city and the temple. And in 70 AD, the Romans would do the same thing and destroy it. And in the future, the Antichrist is prophesied to desecrate the third temple that will be built there and try to besiege and destroy Jerusalem. So, three times throughout history, this prophecy is being fulfilled. So, in Isaiah's time, though, he's saying past tense. Oh, our Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem is desolate, our temple is burned with fire. Well, that hadn't even happened yet in Isaiah's time.
And Nathan, isn't that what's fascinating about Bible prophecy? Even Daniel prophesied during the rebuilding of the temple, and then he even spoke about the future temple. So it's really amazing how the Bible goes from the present to the future, from the far future, and just to show us how accurate the Word of God is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love it. It's something that the people who were going through that were, because again, we learned that many of them didn't repent, especially the leaders of Israel. And the Lord said, okay, well, continued rebellion will require exile. And that was prophesied all the way back. Moses' final message in Deuteronomy 28 through 30 said, if you continue to rebel against me, I'm going to put you into exile in the wilderness. And that is a foreshadowing of individual salvation, that if we're not saved, then we will be sent to the wilderness, which is the lake of fire, hell, but there's no repent, there's no coming back from that. Here, the Jewish people are like, okay, we've sinned, we deserve this punishment. Are you going to always be mad at us? Please don't, please don't. And brother, you and I are living in a time period where the prophecy about the Lord healing their backsliding and remembering their sins no more is coming about. The Jewish people are being regathered back to the land of Israel, according to prophecy. They will endure a horrible time called the tribulation to make them bend a knee and turn to Yeshua HaMashiach as Messiah and accept Jesus as Savior. And so this is all coming. This is all, Vic, all meshed in there in just five verses.
Nathan, and I think also verse 8 is really a call to repentance. For there are individuals that heed the warning, pay attention, and listen. Unfortunately, there are many that don't. But verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. There's a recognition there. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we all are the work of your hands. Verse 9, do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are your people. Nathan, a few things I noticed there. One, the importance of calling on the name of the Lord. And then with a true heart, here they're saying, please. And then also recognizing our frailty. We are nothing. God created us. And Nate, I believe that when people come humbly with that heart towards God, God will be right there like a child coming to a parent repenting of breaking things. And the parent just says, you know what? I was waiting for that. And he gives them a big hug. And really, that's what God wants, right, Nate? For God's people to recognize their sins, to turn, and he will indeed cleanse and forgive them for their sins.
Absolutely. You know, I think the one of the biggest rebellions in our time period is the belief in evolution, which has been so disproven over the years. But this idea that God didn't create us, we just through chance and circumstances created ourselves, basically. And it's a denial of the creator. And yet here Isaiah points out, hey, we are like clay, and literally our bodies are nothing but dust. You take away the water, we're just a lump of dust on the ground. But he's the potter. He forms us. We are the work of his hands. And so we give him the honor due the potter. We give him our loyalty due the potter. And unfortunately, though, we're sinners. We rebel against God. And that's why we need to reconcile with God. If we're going to live with him forever, then we got to live with him forever reconciled. And Jesus Christ makes that possible.
Oh, I love that, Nate. That is so awesome. And again, maybe you've been part of this program, you've been following along with us, and maybe these verses have spoken to your heart and you recognize, wow, that is me. I don't really know God. I don't have a relationship with God. I recognize that I am a sinner. And Nate, there is hope for that individual who has recognized that, because the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, I will be saved. And the Bible also, as we read in Romans 3:23, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then there's a but those that confess their sins, according to 1 John chapter 1, God is faithful to forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. So there is hope for you if you recognize that that's you, that you don't have a relationship with God, but you want to come to Christ. There's an open door. The Bible says in Revelation 3 that God stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens that door, he will come in. And if that's you, you can open that door wide right now and invite Jesus in with a very simple prayer. And if you pray this prayer and you truly mean it from your heart, the Lord Jesus will walk in and grant you eternal life. And wherever you are, I want to invite you to just pause for a minute and call on the name of the Lord with a very simple prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. And if that's you and you just called on the name of the Lord, let me tell you, Nathan and I, we rejoice with you. Heaven rejoices with you. There's a celebration in heaven for everyone that has turned to the Lord. And we want to encourage you, find a good Bible teaching church, get baptized, let the pastors know that you received the Lord. And again, it's going to be a wonderful journey. And if you're in need of prayer, you can always reach out to us by writing to us at webminister@lamblion.com or call or text us at 305-992-9537. We'd love to rejoice with you. So Nathan, what a wonderful passage and what an encouragement it left us with, right?
It really gives us an understanding of who God is and what our relationship with him is and what it needs to be. So I'm so glad we got to study it together with you all. We pray that your week will be blessed.
Praise the Lord. And in the future, join us as we get into the close of the book of Isaiah. But for now, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes